In way of our announcements this morning, the Tuesday morning sisters class, the location for that will have to be discussed by the sisters as there is some confusion as to what may or may not be going on at where it was tentatively scheduled. So the sisters will have to get together and decide where they're going to have that. But we know that the Wednesday evening class, Lord willing, will be here in the hall at 8 p.m. And to preside over that would be Brother Dan Stanton. And you're asked to read and be prepared to discuss 2 Kings chapter 15. Our order of service next Sunday, Lord willing, to preside over a meeting is scheduled Brother Fred Rambo. And the exhortation will be given by Brother Mac Riley. The Saturday Young Children's class is scheduled to be at the home of Brother Paul Jenkins. We don't have any visitors written down here. Do we have any that were hiding on us? I don't see any. I guess not. I guess we're okay in that regard. In way of absentees today, Sister Arlene Stanton, who was not unable to be here, Sister Jewel Lockard, Sister Laura Pomerano, Brother Sid and Sister Sandra Strickland, Sister Pam Rambo, and Sister Mamie Salerno. Are there any other others that we failed to mention? Okay. Let us also remember to keep in our thoughts and prayers our brothers and sisters who live in isolation and are not as blessed as we to have an ecclesia to come to. In way of special announcements, the annual business meeting is scheduled for next Sunday at 1:30 here in the hall, and we are asked to please remember to turn in our ballots today or Wednesday evening at the latest, if at all possible. And, of course, the box is up here for that. And any suggestions for the purpose of the ecclesia should be turned in by next Sunday. And that box is also up here. At this point, I'd like to call upon Brother Bill Rott to open with a word of prayer. In a few moments, we're going to be hearing words of exhortation, but we need to start opening our hearts and our minds so that they get ready to receive those words of exhortation. And one thing that we can do to start that process is sing together another hymn of praise to our Heavenly Father, and let us sing together hymn 238. Oh, happy is the man who hears instruction's warning voice, and whose celestial wisdom makes his early only choice. Hymn 238. Our brother Aaron Strickland has consented to deliver the word of exhortation to us this morning, and he's entitled his comments Continuous Improvement, and he's asked that in conjunction with these comments we read together Proverbs, the first chapter. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up, alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk thou walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth out. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let us now turn our attention to Brother Aaron, who will instruct us on continuous improvement.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone today. Thank you for your for accommodating us today and singing hymn 24 a second time. It was so appropriate to what our topic is today. I hated to change it, even though we sang it already once this morning. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my study all the day. It makes me wiser than my foes and keeps me, solidifies me in thy way. How sweet unto my taste, O Lord, are all thy words of truth. Yea, I do find them sweeter far than honey to my mouth. I, through thy precepts that are pure, do understanding get. I, therefore, every way that's false with all my heart do hate. Thy word is to my feet a lamp and to my path a light. I sworn have and I will perform to keep thy judgments right. Indeed, we have a great responsibility placed before us to learn and to abide and to live by the commandments of the Lord, and to demonstrate continuous improvement. And this is a word that many of us hear in business, and the idea of continuous improvement is just what it sounds like. Regardless of what processes we have created, regardless of how well we may be doing, or how well things seem to be going, we never become complacent to looking for opportunities to change, to improve, and to find new ways of doing things more effectively. We are often admonished in the business world to adopt a mindset of continuous improvement in everything that we do. So no matter how good it is, look for ways for it to be better. This is a concept that is echoed in the Scripture. We have a responsibility to demonstrate continuous improvement. The way that we're going to approach this morning is we're looking at a couple of key elements to this concept, and I'm going to read you a series of scripture verses that support this. I've selected these verses from nearly every book of the Bible is represented here, and we will read just a couple of passages from each. For the sake of time, I'm going to read these without letting you know what the verses are, just so you can attune your thoughts to the words being said. So the vast majority of our words today are going to be read directly from Scripture. I've organized them into a fashion where they are grouped under a topic. So hopefully this will make sense as we move forward. So first, our responsibility to learn the commandments of the Lord and demonstrate continuous improvement in our walk. Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them, and keep, and do them. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. The Lord will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, in order that they come near to thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, stripes, in persecutions, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord he is God, there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him that hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which which are sometimes things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Almost done. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, or to life, as your margin may render it. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Of course, this series of verses has been selected from both Testaments and from multiple books. So there is a clear picture of the fact that we have a responsibility to hear and to respond to and to obey the guidance of our Creator. But along this path, we must find ourselves frequently in situations where we are not comfortable, we are forced to endure hardship, and thankfully, of course, we don't find ourselves in these situations too much in this day and age. But there are things that we face that require us to examine ourselves and to readjust the way we are living. So the second point that we're going to discuss is submitting to reproof and correction. We recognize the Lord has required of us our obedience, but now there is some change that must take place. How well do we respond to reproof and correction? We know that a fool despiseth his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise until salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chasteth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So we have direction to submit to correction, reproof, and personal development. It must take place. We know that there are dangers that face us if we fail to make these adjustments. And certainly we're going to hear about the times when God's people Israel failed to accept and heed the reproof that was offered. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me? His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride forget her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken unto my word, saith the Lord? I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, amend your doings, go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, they have not heard, I have called unto them, they have not answered. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned unto me the back, and not the face. Though I taught them rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction, but they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. I said, surely thou wilt fear me and will receive instruction, so their dwelling would not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to continue to pollute it. A frightening picture of the results of when there is apathy towards learning of God's Scripture. And our topic today, again, is rudimentary for many respects. There's nothing overly complex about what we're saying. The Lord has provided us with direction about how we are to obey Him. If we fail to adhere to Him, we read of these sufferings that came upon His people when they did this in the past. So let's maybe take that to a more positive light and talk about the benefit that comes from adherence to the Word of Scripture. So everybody tune your minds into this for just a moment, and I'd like you to think about the level of glorious grace that is provided in these words. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. Pardon me, conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, seek that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that, though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might become rich. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Almost done. For he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give them light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And of course, these words describing Christ at his arrival speak about the method by which these things might be accomplished. So that wraps up the first piece of what we're doing, to say we recognize the Lord has given us the responsibility to learn of his commandments, to continue to grow all the days of our lives. We've seen the benefit that comes from adhering to that. We've seen the danger of failing to do that. But in his wisdom, the Lord did much more than this. He provided tools so that we might continue to be educated. An individual that creates a class or writes a class is called an instructional designer. And an instructional designer has a great responsibility to his class. This individual must prepare the curriculum, must prepare the learning environment, and must prepare the teacher for this class. So the Lord, in this pattern, established these three essential components to our beliefs. The curriculum that we use to learn of him. and it is here. The inspired word of Scripture is our curriculum, and it's unique from other training curriculums that we might see. We will never stop learning from this class. We can never become filled with all of the knowledge that it contains. At no point will we become an expert. We cannot exhaust the learning within the pages of this book. It is a lifelong, continuous improvement. Outside of this, we have another great and precious gift that I think sometimes we don't recognize, and that is the classroom in which we learn. Our classroom here is our ecclesial environment. Our classroom takes place every Sunday, every Wednesday night. Sometimes it's at people's homes for brothers' class. Sometimes it's outside on a first Sunday. But our ecclesial environment forms the basis of the classroom by which we may demonstrate continuous improvement in the things of the Lord. What is the purpose of existing in the ecclesia? The ecclesia protects, it supports, and it strengthens. When a member joys, we joy with them. When they grieve, we grieve alongside them. The ecclesia educates and develops the people within, ensures that they have the instruction and the knowledge necessary to be candidates for the kingdom of God. We also follow the commandments that have been laid out by our Lord and Master, that we should each week remember Him in the manner appointed, and we come together, assembled, to remember Him in this fashion. We also learn during our time in the ecclesia to manifest the characteristics of the bride of Christ. We have opportunities to strengthen ourselves, to sharpen our sword of knowledge so that we are prepared to defend our beliefs. It forces personal development and staves off the rough edges of our character. It strengthens the bonds between families, children, and also develops us so that we are able to have guidance from our brothers and sisters on any personal decisions we may face in our lives. We send our children to school not just for academics, but to develop the social and relationship skills that they will need throughout the course of their life. They would probably not care to admit this to you, but this is a divinely appointed model. Each time we enter this room, we are learning how to better interact with and support the people around us. Our relationship skills grow each time we are together. Each time we fail to attend a class or a worship service, we are in effect saying, I do not need to receive any further instruction this week, or I can go without it for a few days. The most valuable tool that a musician has at their disposal is the metronome. And the metronome ensures that as a piece of music is played, it is played perfectly in sequence. Every musician learns with a metronome during the rudimentary time of their training. And even advanced musicians use this to better themselves and ensure that they are playing things in a manner that is perfect. Our metronome is our weekly attendance at this class, this worship service, this memorial service, and certainly our midweek classes as well. The Lord does not care to see sporadic service. The Lord wants regular service, showing and demonstrating our commitment to the things that He has pointed out for us. We can see many lessons, and we recognize that the seven ecclesias that are spoken of in Revelation are recorded because each of them represents a period of history, and we can see the development of the apostasy by looking at the problems that each of these ecclesias face. So we know that's the primary lesson that exists in those ecclesias. But we don't want to miss the fact that these ecclesias were groups of people who faced the same types of challenges that we do in getting along sometimes, making the right decisions, ensuring that the truth is held absolutely pure. So we need to look to these ecclesias as well and recognize what changes do we need to make. Where did they fail and what can we change? And of course, reading about them in Revelation tells us, and certainly Paul's epistles to several of them tell us that as well. So we have read of our curriculum is here in the revealed word of Scripture. The Lord has appointed a divine manner in which we might have a classroom to be educated. And finally, we have a great teacher in our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, who, as every teacher can, relates to the fact that without knowledge, there is lack of understanding. It seems like a simple, straightforward point, but in fact, that is the role that He plays for us. Christ remembers what it was like to be without hope. And because of that, He is able to serve as an appropriate mediator for us. Existing in this body, in this mortal state, equals being without hope. Christ is our mediator, is our teacher, provides an opportunity for us to use the ecclesial environment, to use the curriculum that we have been appointed in the Word of Scripture, and to use Him as a go-between, as our teacher, as our moderator, as our mediator. This beautiful picture is one that we cannot afford to be flippant or treat in a trivial fashion. It is the most critical part of our lives. So we must use at all times the curriculum, the classroom, and the teacher that we have been afforded so that we are able to demonstrate continuous improvement through our walk and be found pleasing before Him at the time of His return. I have one final short piece to read to you to wrap up this thought today and to close our words. Because again, what we're saying today is not too detailed or too difficult for us to understand. It's a basic component of what we believe. But I think that based upon the fact that we have this curriculum, we have this learning environment from which to better ourselves before Him, these are words that we should be able to turn to the person next to us and say without reservation. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of this calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the Ecclesia, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all.
Well, thank you, Brother Aaron, for your words this morning. You've given us a lot to think about. Words that we definitely need to hear and apply to our lives. Let us enter into the memorial service, or the memorial portion, service portion. I guess that's the right way to say it. Let us enter into the memorial portion service of our meeting this morning by raising our voices in praise to our Heavenly Father once again and sing together hymn 156. Deck thyself, my soul, with gladness, put away thy robes of sadness. In His resurrection splendor, praise to our Lord did render. Hymn 156. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith. And we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning a little different. I'm going to ask us each to use our imaginations to some degree. Now, for some of us, that's easier than others, because I've been told by some people that I have a good imagination. In fact, some people might say I have an overactive imagination. But I want us each to use our imagination to a certain degree this morning. And the first thing I want you to imagine is that you're outside on a very extremely hot day. Now, that's easier for some of us to imagine than others, because those of us that work outside, like Brother Mac and myself and Brother Dan, we know what it's like to deal with those 15 to 17 week periods of 90-plus degree temperatures because we dealt with it for a long time this past summer. So, but I'm sure every one of us in this room can remember what it was like during that period when even we had to do something as simple as go out and mow the lawn, how much the sweat just poured out of each and every one of us. So imagine, if you will, that you were in the middle of a day like that. Now, this day starts out fairly decent. You're surrounded by your friends. You're actually upon a donkey, and you were led into a city where thousands, well, hundreds, possibly thousands, of people shower you with admiration. Put yourself in that position. I'm sure you have an idea of where I'm going with this. But as this day starts out, things are pretty good. You're surrounded by those who admire you. They shower you with praise and admiration. And this day starts out fairly decently. But as the day wears on, you know in your head what's going to happen within the next day or two or three. And you enter into a supper that evening that you know is going to be the last supper you're ever going to share with those around you. How many of us in this room would go through that supper in a calm manner? I'm sure I wouldn't. I wouldn't be able to eat. But imagine, put yourself into the position where you're imagining that you are in the middle of what you know is going to be your last supper. And you're surrounded by fewer, but still friends, and things are still going fairly decently. You leave the supper, and you and your friends travel to a remote part of where it's a little bit more wilderness. And you leave some of your friends behind and take with you those that you feel even closer to, a few that you feel even closer to, and go off with them in the distance. You tell these extra good friends of yours that you need to go over there and pray for a while. And you ask them to sit there and watch with you and support you. You go off to the distance and you are in deep sorrow because you know what's going to happen to you in the next few hours or day. Things are going to get pretty miserable. You know this. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, maybe there is. So you ask your father, please take this burden from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So you know that basically you're going to go through a very difficult ordeal that will end in a very slow and painful death. And on top of all that, you don't deserve it. You've never sinned. You've led a perfect life, but yet you know that you are going to die a slow and painful death. When you come back from praying, you find these extra close friends that you asked to stand by you and support you sleeping. They basically couldn't even find it in themselves to give you the support that you begged for. You leave them after waking them and go off and pray again. And when you come back, once again, they are asleep. But this time you realize that they're just weak. And they even though they say they want to support you, there's just something lacking in them in the ability to actually do that. So this time you leave them alone. But shortly after this, another man who claims to be your friend or one of the friends that you've spent the last period of months with comes to where you are, but he doesn't come alone. He comes with a band of soldiers. And he approaches you as a friend would approach a friend with the friendly gesture. He gives you a kiss. But yet he's using this friendly gesture to deliver you to this band of soldiers. This band of soldiers basically takes you away from your friends at this point. What do your friends do? They abandon you. They all go their own separate ways. Some of them hang a little closer to see what's going on. And one of them actually denies that he ever knew you, not once, not twice, but three times. And all the while, your friends are gone, and you are delivered before the authorities. What do these authorities do to you when you get there? They falsely accuse you of things. They look for anyone who would be willing to testify falsely that you did this, that, or the other thing. And after finding a few people that will actually do that, they feel confident that they've got a case against you. And what do? They start to spit on you. They start to abuse you by slapping you with their hands, buffeting you. I'm not sure I'm saying that right. But at this point, the physical abuse now starts. And once again, you know that you've done nothing to deserve it. But at this point now, you're delivered to other authorities. These first authorities at least were your own countrymen. But now you're delivered to the authorities who have rulership over your country, who are different countrymen. In fact, they're Romans, which is a completely different, not race, but a completely different group of people than what you were born and raised as. These authorities find no fault with you. In fact, they want to deliver you back to your own countrymen. And the leader of this group of people says to your countrymen, you know, it's a custom at this time of the year that we deliver one of our prisoners, one of the people that we've arrested, we deliver them back to you and drop all the charges against them. Now we've got this guy who you just brought in, who basically did nothing, and we've got this guy over here, and he's been committed, and we know that he's a murderer. Which one would you rather have? Imagine that you have to stand there and hear your people tell this governor that they would rather have this accused, condemned murderer set free than you, who did nothing, who are innocent, who have done nothing but good your entire life. You've healed the sick that came to you. You've performed miracles. You've healed the blind. You've forgiven people of their sins. But now here you are, being completely turned against and having your countrymen turn their backs on you. What happens at this point? Imagine at this point that you're delivered to a group of soldiers. Now we know basically what a soldier is. A soldier these days, and I'm sure especially back then, was not a little guy. He was a big guy, full of muscles, because especially back then, the primary tool of war was a sword, and to cast, you know, use a sword in an effective manner, you gotta have some muscle behind you. So now you're delivered to a group of these guys. They're all bigger than you are, and they start to spit on you. They rip your clothes off. They put a robe on you, but it's all in mocking. And all of a sudden, one of them comes over with a crown of thorns. Not little rose thorns that might prick your finger, but long, possibly as long as 2-2.5 inch thorns. And they take this crown of thorns and slam it onto your head so that it pierces into your scalp. And eventually they start dancing around you, making fun of you, spitting on you, and hitting you in the head with a stick called a reed. And every time they hit you in the head with the stick, it jams those thorns in just a little bit deeper. Imagine what that would feel like. Eventually, they take off this robe that they were using to mock you. They give you back your own clothes and tell you to get dressed. And there's a little bit of discussion as to what could potentially have happened in between this point and this next point. We're not going to go into that. But they, at this point, tell you to pick up this cross. And you're going to carry it from here to where we're going to take you to kill you. At this point, you've been without sleep for at least a day or two, 24 to 36 hours. You've been beaten up. You've been spit on. You've had your back turned against. You've had people turn their back against you. You've had your friends abandon you. And now you have to pick up this cross and carry it with you. Now, there's some discussion on which part of the cross you may have actually had to pick up. But every one of us in this room knows that you take a big hunk of wood, and it's not light. And here you are on another extremely hot day after not having any sleep for the last 24 to 36 hours, having been beaten up. You've got to pick this up, and even from if you had to carry it from here to that door, I'm sure that every one of us in this room would have a hard time doing that. But imagine that you have to do that. And for a while there, you seem to have it under control. But imagine that you fall down. And the soldiers that are leading you along this roadway that takes you to where you're going to die starts beating you and tells you, get up and pick that thing up. Imagine you fall down again, and this time you just can't get up. And imagine that somebody out of the crowd comes and helps you with this cross. Imagine that you're finally taken to where you're going to die. There's two other guys there that are going to die basically in the same way, and you watch as they're tied to their cross. But what do they do to you? Imagine that when they lay you down on your cross, a guy comes over with a big long hammer and some big long nails. And he drives the first one through your hand. And it goes through your hand and into this hard wood. Imagine the jolting as each blow of the hammer nails that nail through your hand and into that wood. Just when you thought you couldn't stand the pain of that happening, they do it to the other hand. And just when you thought you couldn't stand that pain, they nail your feet to the cross as well. Now they hoist you up. Imagine that they hoist you up, and there you are once again in that hot sun. After being beaten, after being potentially scourged, after being spit upon, after being abandoned, there you are hanging from your hands and your feet that are nailed to this cross in the hot sun, just waiting to die. Now imagine, eventually, that your body gives out and you do die. Now we all know. We don't have to imagine that, because that's what our Lord and Master did for us. We don't have to imagine what this table represents to us, because we know that this bread symbolizes His body that He gave for us. And we know that this wine symbolizes the blood that He shed so that our sins would be forgiven. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And let us read together the words of the Apostle Paul, where he instructs us on how to remember the sacrifice that our Lord and Master made for us. 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 23, we read, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. At this point, I'd like to call upon our brother Dan Stanton to deliver a word of thanks for the bread. I'd like to ask Brother Mike Jasinowski to deliver a word of prayer for the wine. Matthew 26, verse 30 reads, And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Before we go our separate ways, let us likewise, before we go out, sing a hymn by singing together hymn 134. Great God, whose universal sway the known and unknown worlds obey, now give the kingdom to thy Son, extend his power, exalt his throne. Hymn 134, after which I'd like to call upon Brother Jerry Markwith Sr. to close with the word of prayer. Brother Bill Rott has asked that all the teachers of the young Sunday school students meet with him before they leave today. I guess he wants to discuss the curriculum coming up. And just one last thing, there are grapefruit in the back for all those who like grapefruit, free to take.